encouragement and desire to go to your word, your precious and perfect word, and help it to comfort us and to give us the wisdom and the understanding that we are lacking, especially in times like today when there is so much chaos in the world. I ask you, Father, that you would bless us and help us, Lord, to just give you that attention today, that would last longer than just the time of a sermon and some songs, but that would last our whole life, Lord, that we would daily be dependent upon you, that we would daily enrich our soul by studying your word and remembering your word and keeping it with us, that we would live a life that is focused on you. And so be with us today, Lord, and any ones that are not here today for various reasons, but Lord, you ask that you bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned in my prayer, there is a lot going on. And you hear some of the prayers that were offered this morning. I'm sure that you're aware of things. If you have a phone or a TV, radio, I don't know, you're aware that there are multiple things going on in the world. There's a lot of chaos going on in our world. Israel and Iran are launching missiles at each other. And I just wanted to make a few things clear. When you listen to the news and you hear about all these missiles being launched at Israel, I was sharing this information with Marissa earlier, it's not like now somebody is aiming some kind of structure and not tanks. Yeah, there are some missiles that are moving through the sky like that, and there are some nations that are even trying to intercept those missiles before they make it to Israel. But then you have missiles that shoot into the sky, leave the atmosphere, go into space, and come back down. And you know, people are dying, people are dead on both sides. Missionaries. And I think that sometimes in our American culture that we can kind of just hate the bad guy and just want the bad guy dead and almost act as though the bad guy is lost and sin and doesn't have a soul. I know that God's word tells us that everything is purposeful, that even the wicked were created is a judgment. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have our hearts pierced because lost souls are perishing. Brother Rich mentioned what was happening in LA. And LA might still be on fire. I'm not sure. I'm not there. But I've seen enough of it, and it's kind of devastating at times for me. Because I looked around from LA, but I don't want LA to burn. And none of us should. We shouldn't want LA to burn. We shouldn't want any of these cities to burn. We shouldn't want all the rioting and the looting and setting cars on fires and attacking law enforcement officers. We shouldn't want vandalism for miles. We shouldn't want leaders to be sitting on their hands and they could be doing something. We shouldn't want law enforcement not doing anything when they could do something. Businesses are being destroyed. People are losing things. And everybody loves the Marines until they show up and they park outside your door. International Guard. When I joined the Marine Corps, you know, you see our oath to protect, but not just foreign threats, also domestic threats, and that should paint us with our brothers, with our sisters, with our neighbors, respond warmly to each other, especially when we have news outlets on both sides that just want to twist things because they just want to create some kind of backing for their agenda. There is bad agendas on both sides. And we don't know that, and we need to know that now. Because the children of God and the church, along with the church, with the truth, the church stands on the truth. The church is a pillar, a banner of the truth. We go to all these other outlets for the truth. We have to read them with a sense of discernment and to know that they want with us. They want with us, they want to win our heart, they want to win our support, they want to win our wallet. Because of all this chaos going on in LA and other cities in our nation, you anticipate a day when you've been patriotic in some regard, where you have, I don't even know how many hundreds of protests went on yesterday. Under the statement of No King's Day, that was the agenda of the push No King's Day, and it was people that were in opposition of immigration policy and how those policies were carried out. Also, who penned those policies, who backs those policies, who supports those policies. And so they have No King's Day in opposition to what is, from my understanding, legally right in this nation. The problem with No King's Day is that in the demonstration of No King's Day and the events leading up to No King's Day, it was a big fat lie because everybody, well, not everybody, many of the people proved that they believed in a king. And that king is himself. Many people were above the law and acted as though there was no accountability. And it's interesting because you have dozens, hundreds, thousands, millions, I don't know how many little mini kings describing No King's Day. I'm not sure how much of the way you're going to be able to just call spades spades, and you're going to be able to just see the truth for what it is. I was fascinated when I, from the first time that I read this portion of scripture, the book of Job, chapter 5, verses 6 to 7, then Job writes, "For affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble sprout from the ground." Think about that. "For affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. For man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward." Man naturally has a rebellious spirit, a rebellious nature. You do not have to teach a child to do that. To be wrong. To misbehave. They're pretty good at doing that all on their own. Even when you correct it, they're pretty good at flying their way back to it. But not adults, adults. By the time you hit 18, you're done with that. I don't know. But all the chaos going on in this world, it is a comfort, at least it should be a comfort, for us to know that we are not forgotten here on this ball of dirt. God has not abandoned us or his plan for salvation. He is still sovereign, and in his timing, he will judge the wicked of this world as well as establish a kingdom. And for those that believe the kingdom is already, I am asking you to rebut the things that I just mentioned. And I mean, it's the tip of the iceberg. It is definitely low-hanging fruit. We have people, we have government officials in our own nation
that were assassinated in their home. And two others that were shot, at least one in the spouse. Chaos. But there will be a time when the wicked will be judged. There will be a time when God establishes the kingdom and the world will look incredibly different. There we will see the Lord Jesus lead believers as one true shepherd. A shepherd. Yes, he is King, Lord of Lords, but he will also come back and be one true shepherd, just as God promised. And we have been in John chapter 10. And last week I covered verses 1 through 9 and finished up 10 with the key that came last week. And I ended with Jesus' words, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Not abundantly. But listen to what Jesus said next. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I want us to consider this. Why does Jesus apparently, maybe supposedly, out of the blue, mention that he is a good shepherd? Is it just because he's moving into the next portion of his discussion? No. Why would Jesus, at this point in his ministry, make this statement about himself? We have a man that was born blind, but none of the spiritual leaders knew. When they were in John 9, and the Pharisees are talking to people, and they're bringing this holy blind man in, and they're bringing his parents to this, they don't know him. How can the spiritual leaders not know the most needy of sheep? It's an indictment on the spiritual leaders. They don't know the bloody man. They don't know if he was really blind. They don't know his parents. They don't know if his parents are telling the truth whether he was born blind or not. You'd think if there was a baby born blind, that the leaders would know. That the leaders would admit it. The leaders would help. Not only do they not know him, or not know his family, or don't care for him either, they chastise him and his family, and they place fear into their family, and then they banish the formerly blind man and excommunicate him out of the synagogue. And this is the epitome of terrible spiritual leadership. And Jesus, saying that he is the good shepherd, is a statement that's tied to an Old Testament prophecy where God would be sending a shepherd to care for his flock, those who are opposed, those who are oppressed and trampled down by the spiritual leaders of their day who are actually false shepherds. The prophecy was so significant that it was given to two separate prophets because God made sure that we had two separate bodies of people. The prophecy was given to Jeremiah and it was also given to Ezekiel. If you recall, when Israel was taken into captivity, you had the Assyrians that lost their strength.
the Babylonians come in, they take over around 606. And you have the first wave of exiles taken, Daniel and the leadership, and everybody's beautiful and smart, basically. They took all of them and they left the others in the land. And then the second wave happened in 597 BC. And in 597 BC, with the second wave, you had Ezekiel taken. He was 25. And he'll be with God's people. And he is a priest and a prophet, and he's taken from the temple. A third wave will happen in 586 BC. And the temple will be destroyed at that time as well. Jeremiah was not taken. It's interesting because you have Jews that were left in the land, and you have Jews that were taken into exile, and God gives Jeremiah and Ezekiel this prophecy that I'm going to read to us, so that his people, no matter where they are, would receive and would hear the prophecy. It is that significant. So turn with me in your Bible to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. I want us to consider this. I'm going to read to us, put a few things out, and then we're going to move to Ezekiel. So Jeremiah, just find Isaiah and go next door. Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 4. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not attended to them. Behold, I am about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will also raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them, and they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. This is an interesting prophecy. Because part of this prophecy is judgment, and part of the prophecy is restoration. I want us to understand something. As we take a look at the history line of Israel, we know that there came a time when Israel was taken into captivity, that Israel be taken first by the Syrians, and the rest of Judah be taken by the Babylonians, these three ways that I've already mentioned. And then you have this time where Daniel's prophesying, and you have this time where they remember and they come back to Scribe, right? And that way, church is sent messages out, visions out, so that his people come back to the land. But I will put it this way. That's not what God is talking about here. He's talking about what Israel's shepherds, false shepherds, have done to put them in that situation. And even in bringing them back to Israel, that is not what this portion of Scripture is talking about. This portion, this prophecy, is talking about a future time when Israel will be brought back. Because if this prophecy is talking about when they came back to the land and rebuild the wall and rebuild the
as your Nehemiah days,
and God is lying.
But God's not a man that he would lie.
So why do I say that?
I know that it's not talking about that
because there were people missing when they came back.
They were still being persecuted when they came back. They were still being mistreated when they came back. And even when they came back, they were afraid when they fought back. And even today, Israel's hiding, maybe even as I speak, in bunkers right now, afraid. So that tells us either God's life has been there, and I'm team God doesn't lie. I hope you are on that side. He will send not a shepherd. And that's the difference between Jeremiah's prophecy and Ezekiel's prophecy. Jeremiah is in the land, and he's in Israel, so he's company of people. God is helping Jeremiah's ministry by letting them know that they will receive proper shepherds in due time. Shepherds, plural. Ezekiel says almost the same thing, but he expands on this. And his focus won't be on shepherds. It will be on the shepherd that will come back. So now please turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Please don't look at your watches because it gives me anxiety. I didn't give you verses in Ezekiel 34 because we're going to look at the whole chapter. And you don't need enough to know that that would be very difficult for me to do in the time we have left. But we're going to see what the Lord gives us. Are we all in Ezekiel 34? Remember, how do we get here? I'm telling you that in John chapter 10, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, or in the Greek is, I am the shepherd of the good one, that it stands on something, and it stands on what we see in Jeremiah and what we see here in Ezekiel 34. Please follow along with me as I read the chapter to us. Ezekiel 34, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The disease, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity, you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd. And they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth. And there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And the shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them, and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I will deliver my flock from their mouth, so that they will not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep, and I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. Is it too slight a thing for you that you should feed in the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pastures? Or that you should drink of the clear waters, that you must found the rest with your feet? As for my flock, they must eat what you tread down with your feet, and drink what you found with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and with shoulder, you thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and I will leave harmful beasts from the land, so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in the season. They will be showers of blessing. Also, the tree of the field will yield its fruit, and the earth will yield its increase, and they will be secure on their land, and they will know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bars of their yoke, and I delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. They will no longer be a prey to the nations, and the beasts of the earth will no longer devour them. But they will live securely, and no one will make them afraid. I will establish for them a renowned planting place, and they will not again be victims of famine in the land. And they will not endure the insults of the nations anymore. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. As for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Apparently, Jeremiah got the Cliff Notes version. It is good for us to take in a lot of scripture. And it takes I want to encourage you in your time this week to go back and reread Ezekiel 34. I want us to consider this portion of Scripture is a comforting prophecy of when God will send His people, His shepherd. And it is because the shepherds that He installed in Israel failed. They failed themselves and they failed the sheep that they were entrusted to keep, that they were entrusted to care for, that they were entrusted to spiritually feed and strengthen, to guide and care for. I want us to consider these first six verses of chapter 34. This is an indictment of false shepherds. An indictment of false shepherds. And the first thing that we see is that God presents charges against the leaders that remain there in Israel. Verse 1 and 2. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God. And this is a public announcement. But it has a personal direction. The focus is on the shepherds. Now, God's not being mean, singling out these shepherds. He has sent countless prophets to these shepherds to let them know that they need to repent. And have it. So here is an open, public statement for everybody to hear, for everybody to consider, but it is definitely directed at those leaders in Israel. Throughout the Old Testament, leaders in Israel, whether it's kings, priests, are called shepherds. They're referred to as shepherds. Isaiah 53:11, there Isaiah writes, then his people remembered the days of old of Moses, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock, the leaders of his flock. Shepherds is synonymous for the leaders in Israel because shepherds do that. They lead. They guide. They care for. They're entrusted with a particular body of sheep. The first charge that God brings upon these false shepherds is exploitation for personal and financial gain. There at the end of verse 2, going into verse 3, woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool and swallow the fat sheep without feeding the flock. They are Eli's sons. Their son and God, their son was supposed to be God's, and was supposed to be for the weak, was supposed to be for those that are needy. They're preying upon the sheep. And they're neglecting their primary responsibility of caring for the flock. God has created civilizations to work their way, or yes, you have leaders that lead, but you also have leaders that lead in a loving way to build their relationship, to cultivate an honor for a nation so that the rest of the sheep, the rest of the people, lovingly submit to leadership. And when you take those components out, then you have civil war. Then you have a country implode. boosted, insults and slander and all sorts of things happening. And it just feeds a sinful heart. I can remember when we lived in Hackton, we would know around this time, you want to make sure that you clear any debris, any trees that went down. You want to make sure that you throw all that stuff up because that hill is likely to go on fire. This is a situation that was ready to catch fire. And that's what man's simple heart can do. It just needs the right environment. It just needs someone to nudge it, someone to push it. That's because we can naturally just be selfish. And here we see that these leaders were selfish. The Lord is against them. He's prophesying against them. And whenever the Lord takes a position of being against you, you are in a bad position. You're also in a losing, a failing position. And the Lord says this rhetorically, should not the shepherd feed the flock? Can you even call yourself a shepherd if you don't feed the flock? But instead they feed themselves and they take the wool for themselves. They slaughter animals and eat and yet keep the sheep from eating. And so the second charge that God brings against them is just a charge of cruelty. Cruelty to the sheep. Verse 4. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force you, to you with force and severity, you have dominated them. You have dominated them. Four times the Lord repeats, you have not, you have not, you have not, you have not. And then he answers, nor have you. For his presentation. And that tells us that the Lord saw all of those features as being prime responsibilities of a shepherd. Of a shepherd. He didn't even say, you've done this, but you haven't done this, or, well, you haven't done these things, you've still done this, so let's try to fix it. And this force is a ruling and an oppressive way. They're dominating the sheep. They're shredding the sheep down. And the perfect contrast is the loving ministry of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 36, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching the synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited. They were tread down. They were trampled upon like sheep without a shepherd. He's seen them in this stage. Or he's seen them in this state. And that provoked him. Because he is a good shepherd. And he knows what the people need. And so he goes and he administers this shepherdly ministry over the sheep. And it is an indicator of who he is and who he will come back to be. He is the one. Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 34, talk about. The third charge that God brings up is the neglect of wandering sheep. I'm wondering if there weren't just some are thinking deeply. Wandering sheep. Wandering sheep. Verse 5 and 6. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for beasts of the field that were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. False shepherds not only let the flock go hungry, let the flock go wounded and sickly, but they let them go off wandering. They did not seek them out, but allowed them to fall prey to the beast of the wilderness and fields. Notice that the Lord says they were scattered for lack of a shepherd. There isn't a single shepherd that brought them back. They wandered. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, because part of a shepherd's responsibility is to keep track of the sheep. Take inventory of the sheep. Keep an eye on the sheep. And they hear Israel wandering off. They could be driven by these false shepherds at times. They didn't have a shepherd. And because they didn't have a shepherd, we're talking about a nation that had leaders that did not understand the value of one single soul. And that is losing a person. If someone leaves the church, it's not just, oh, there goes that person's offering or something else. That is the least. That is absolutely the least of any pastor's concern, at least it should be. The greatest concern should be, what's going to happen to that soul? Who's going to shepherd that soul? What is the state of that soul that desires to wander off? Listen to the word of the Lord in Matthew 18, 12 to 13. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is, none of the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones will once perish. But the shepherds don't care if the sheep wander off. The shepherds don't care for the soul of the sheep. Shepherds don't care for the soul of the sheep. The whole reason why Jesus in John said, "Fellows, all that are listening there, I am the good shepherd," is because he ultimately cares for the souls that he's come to rescue and to save. He is the good shepherd, and next week we'll dive deeper into this prophecy of the good shepherd that God will eventually send. But for now, I just want to encourage you to take some time this week, read this portion of scripture. Even if you have questions, send them to me. I'd love to hear from you. But next week, we, Lord willing, will finish this passage. I'm not going to expound on every verse. There are some things that we're just going to move through, so we can highlight the true reason why Jesus is claiming to be rightfully the good shepherd in John 10. If you don't know this good shepherd, hear his voice through his word. He will not turn any away that his father sends to him. This good shepherd could be your shepherd.
all you have to do is receive him.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for giving us your word. I thank you for its sufficiency. I thank you that we can see that even in so many years before us, still ring true. And that is because your word is absolutely perfect. So help us be encouraged by it. Help us be encouraged through it. And help us, Lord, to seek to honor and worship you greater as we take time to study your word. Lord, we thank you for giving us time to worship and honor Christ our Savior. Help us, Lord, to not leave it here in this building, but to be worshipers no matter where we are throughout this day and throughout our life. In Jesus' name.